Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, you have just heard the account of what took place on that very first Easter. You know, they were dealing with a whole lot of bad news right then, and some good news came along. We're dealing with bad news right now, the coronavirus, but today we are going to be experiencing good news because it is Easter, and Easter, so gloriously beautiful, in spite of our circumstances, comes at us and brings us joy and life. So joyful, so filled with hope and with expectation, all the more so because we are in a period of time which will be remembered by history as a very, very difficult time, the time of that pandemic. But it is even more glorious because there was something even worse going on, and that was on Good Friday. It was so bleak. It was so hopeless. The darkest day in human history as Jesus Christ is nailed to the cross and he bows his head and he gives up his spirit as he dies. Now, before Easter, those who were close to Jesus thought, it's all over now, but good news was yet to come. But it was an especially difficult Friday for the friends of Jesus, including those women who attended the event, the ones who waited on him and who would now have the responsibility of caring for his earthly remains. And this is definitely a cheerless duty. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, the women have left their homes. They are heavy in heart and they walk together now from the center of the city. They pass through the city gate and they come to a small hill. And as they are coming to that hill, again, their hearts are very, very heavy. They have the cheerless duty to complete and finish the burial preparations for the dead body of Jesus. They are carrying spices, but the grief that they carry is so much heavier. They're coming now to the burial site in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb. Last Friday is still fresh in their minds and memories, their dead friend placed into a tomb and then a stone rolled in front of it. They are so highly disappointed, stricken with grief, their lives are changed for the worse. Yes, now they have to deal with life without Jesus, the worst and most unimaginable kind of life. Life without Jesus is life without forgiveness from God. It is life without hope or assurance for heaven. It is life without ultimate, permanent, authentic meaning. It is life where you scramble and claw and push and you scratch, hoping to get some shreds of purpose and meaning in your life. It is life dominated by fears and bad news and guilt. It is life where, well, if there is a God, he's not a God who is able or maybe not willing to do anything to improve the lot of miserable, depressed people, this whole human species, which seems to be so broken. That's life without Jesus. And this morning now is the first step in accommodating to life without Jesus. They thought it's all over now, but the best was yet to come. What did they have to look forward to? They thought, we dare not even hope again. We've got to get on with those depressing cycles of trial and failure, daily routines that add up to nothing but a grave for each one of our loved ones, and then a grave for myself, and a grave for the visions of a better world. Now, they don't know it yet, but there was a new day dawning. As the first rays of sunlight push over the horizon and command the darkness to recede, there are still some other thoughts, disturbing thoughts about the task at hand. They've got a really big question, who's going to roll away the stone? But the big question has already been answered. They might have thought, hey, we're just a couple of middle-aged women There's a big bunch of, it would take a big bunch of grown men to push that stone away, to accomplish what has to be done. Friday was bad. Today is no better. But the closer they get, the closer they are to the revelation of a miracle. And yet they are weighted down with a long list of impossibles, stones to roll away, impossibles in their minds. And as they come closer still in the murky half-light, their eyes can't quite transmit to their brains what is becoming obvious. They had thought, well, it's all over now, but the best is just about to happen for them. They can hardly believe what their eyes are telling them. This was totally unexpected. The stone has been rolled away. But wait, there's even more. Upon entering the tomb, they see two men in white robes seated there, heavenly beings, angels, still aglow with the light of heaven, the light of the presence of a risen Jesus Christ. And they have one of the greatest messages that has ever been spoken. This is the best news ever. Jesus Christ is alive. Are you ready? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And so he is not here. Go tell his disciples. He's not in the place of death and disappointment. The message was meant not just for the women, not just for the disciples, but it was meant for the entire world. And somehow this message, which was then delivered to just a few, has now come through 20 centuries and multiple generations, transmitted through millions of diverse voices, and on the pages of millions of published copies, the same message today that was sent from heaven by God's angels and messengers. The message is, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So Jesus is not there in the grave anymore. Hope has not died. Friday did not have the final word. COVID is not the final word. Easter Sunday is. And that is awfully good news for our Fridays. Oh, think about our Fridays. What's been happening? Our lives have changed so much just in the last few weeks. We can barely recognize the texture of our lives now as the same lives we used to have. We ask ourselves, in the midst of our anxieties about all this, anxieties about our jobs and income and the health of our families and our own health and the economy and so forth, we ask, who's going to roll away that stone? And then there's another stone. What about the Friday of our sins? A totally serious matter that each one of us has got to deal with, especially when we see it in the light of the purity of the resurrection, the darkness of our own sin. But by grace, God draws us to himself. He draws us into his pure presence, not to condemn, but to save and to cleanse us. In the risen Christ, forgiveness is now a living reality, universally available, yes, accessible to everyone, setting us free from debilitating guilt. Our guilt was paid for on the cross, and the resurrection is the receipt. And you can carry that around joyfully, and when guilt tries to arrest you, capture you, and enslave you, then you just simply hold up your resurrection receipt. A story I heard some time ago, and maybe you've heard this one too, but it's about a family. They're on a road trip, and they've made a stop, that mandatory rest stop. And when they get back in the car, they've noticed, and they get going, they've noticed that a bee has come into the car when they had opened the door. And all the children are frightened, and they're screaming, and they're waving their hands, trying to keep that bee away from them. And it continues to be a problem. But the dad calmly reaches over, and when he sees that the bee in his sight, he grabs quickly, and in his hand, he crushed that bee. Sin, death, the devil were like that bee. harassing and making life miserable when Jesus reached out and he took that. But you see, the man took the sting into his own hand. He experienced the pain of it so that his children would not have to. Jesus took the sting of death, the sting of sin, into his own hands that were nailed up there on the cross. And he felt the poison of that sting, and he died. But in that, he destroyed the power of sin. And because that power has been destroyed, he has now risen from the dead. The best thing ever has happened, and death has been defeated. And so there is new and living hope, a daily restoration of our humanity, that for which we were created to begin with. And we can have faith and we can have hope, even when conditions look absolutely hopeless. The stone has been rolled away. The grave is empty. But I know we still seem to have stones in our lives that need to be removed. Yes, and I mentioned that COVID again, that's a stone. And as a result of that, a lot of people are going to die. But as a result of sin, everyone dies, but we're not afraid of it anymore, because it is merely for us a passage into eternal life. But sometimes there is that stone that says, ask the question, is everything going to work out? Can I have peace in my life? Can I be freed from the burden of guilt? Oh, how can I live in a world that seems like so many things are going wrong all of the time? How can my children make it without falling off the edge into drugs and alcohol and self-absorption and depression and disabling physical problems? Will that generation hold on to the faith, or will they pick up the distorted values of the world? But my brothers and sisters, these are stones that have already been rolled away because, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, on the third day he rose again from the dead. Friday saw the hopelessness of a stone sealing up life and hope, imprisoning Jesus in death and a grave. But if that's the whole story, then we too are prisoners in the tomb of gloom. But Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It actually happened. The stone has been rolled away, and triumphant, hope-filled life is rushing out to meet us. There's a little prayer with which we can conclude this, written by a man by the name of Tozer, A.W. Tozer, a great Christian leader of a previous century. And he says in his prayer, he says this to the Lord: O God of goodness and mercy, thy praise echoes in my heart today. Thy joy is my joy, and my joy is thy joy, and all heaven rejoices together with us. In Jesus' name, amen.